You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down, and like many of us, he never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Tim. How are you?
We be jamming, man.
You listening to reggae music today?
No, actually, I didn't have time to listen to any music. I had time to make music.
Oh, nice. And you make incredible music.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we had one of those sacred sound meditation gigs today.
Oh, usually we say this for the end, but do you want to tell us where those are at and, you know, so people who are living in the area can check it out?
Okay, if you're living in the Reno area, I do this the second Saturday of each month at Rishi Yoga, and I'm doing the first and third Saturdays at Temple Yoga, and I'm also teaming up with another sound practitioner whenever we can. We're doing it about once a month, and we're going to combine again next weekend, which will be fun down at the Yoga Center.
Nice,
and,
nice.
And
that should be great.
She plays one of those planetary gongs.
Oh, yes. Yes, I like those.
Yeah, oh, my God. Somebody recently posted a video of somebody who does live blood cell analysis, and so they are showing, like, they did all the blood samples of these people, and then they did a gong bath.
Oh.
And then did the blood, and it was amazing, the shift in the blood right there under the ultra dark field microscope. You
Ooh.
Can see the results of the sacred sound.
Wow. Wow. Well, that says quite a lot.
Yeah, it sure does. Yeah, so Sunday the 17th, we're going to team up, and so there will be the celestial gong. I will be doing my crystal bowls, Tibetan singing bowls, and the harmonica overtoning and so forth. We both throw our voices into it. So, yeah, it's cool stuff.
Oh, nice. That's really nice. I encourage everybody to check it out that is in the area, because it takes you to other dimensions is what it does.
Well, it actually does that, yes.
Yep, yep. And I know when you did that for my birthday, when we had a house down nearby, I was just in another world for about an hour and a half. Thank goodness. You know, we have these brief respites from the earthly drama.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. Benelia and Larry and all kinds of fun people were there.
Oh, yeah. And Amelia's daughter, who's now married and
that's
has
right.
a kid. All kinds of fun people.
Yeah.
So, well, what is on your metaphysical and spiritual radar these days?
Well, I still play with a lot of astrology and numerology and so forth. And and astrologically, we just had a biggie. I don't know. Did you see the article I just posted the other day?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Uranus in Taurus.
Oh, okay.
Illusions get shattered.
Oh. Oh, that's going to be a breaking up experience.
Well, yeah. You know, Uranus... In fact, Laura Bruno also published an article recently, which was really delightful. Short article, but really cool. And she called it Uranus and Taurus, An Unexpected Journey.
Huh.
And, of course, that is the subtitle of a certain little novel called The Hobbit.
Oh, I did not know.
Yeah, so in her little analogy there, Uranus represents Gandalf the Wizard showing up to visit Bilbo Baggins at Bag End. So there you go with your Hobbit down to Earth in Taurus. And if you know the story, Bilbo was leading his very sedate, pastoral life there, and he didn't like adventures. We don't like adventures here.
No.
When Uranus comes into Taurus, it's going to start happening. So it just came in the other day. Depending on which side of the international dateline you live on, it was either the 5th or the 6th. So it's just freshly in, and it's going to be here for years to come.
Years?
Yeah, we're going up to like 2025 with this one.
Of course, in the cosmic scheme of things, that could be a blink of an eye.
Oh, exactly. Yeah.
But for us, it just seems to be, you know, eternity is passing. What are some of the things that we would be looking for that could be attributed to this alignment?
Well, this is also supporting all that action that's going on in Capricorn. You know, like in my series of articles, I'm ready to release the next one.
Good.
Global Metamorphosis 2019 update, which is tracking the journey of Pluto through Capricorn. And Pluto rules Scorpio and deals with a lot of different things, of course, but among those things you find everything that's deep, dark, hidden, secret, etc.
Okay.
And Capricorn is everything that's out in the public. So
sounds like some revelations are in store.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, this is the apocalypse.
And so
it's happening incrementally. It seems slow to a lot of us who are just like you know, the more you're locked into the TikTok reality, the slower it seems.
Right.
But as you just mentioned, from a cosmic perspective, you know, it's a blip.
Right. Maybe just a tiny blip on the screen.
Yeah. So at any rate, all that action in Capricorn, which is an Earth sign, is going to be beautifully and harmoniously supported by Uranus in its journey through Taurus. And so this year we're going to see a lot of things. People's realities are going to be kind of turned upside down a little bit here and there. And in fact, numerologically, we are now in the year 2019. And 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 9 equals 12. The 12th card of the Tarot deck is called the Hanged Man.
Ah.
Yeah, although it's a misnomer because really nobody is being hanged.
Right.
It's somebody who's just, you know, hanging upside down. It's kind of like a yogi doing a brain flush.
Right.
Yeah, but the symbol is, you know, somebody who has perspectives that are upside down according to the world, you know, the old matrix.
Uh-huh.
180 out from mainstream, but it does have to do with turning things upside down.
Ah.
And this is the first 12-year of the new millennium.
Aha. Uh-huh. That could be significant, right?
Well, it sure could. And so you can expect people to have their realities turned upside down, especially now that Uranus is in Taurus, supporting all that action in Capricorn. And once we get up to January, watch Capricorn, because, of course, Pluto's still grinding its way through there. But our friend Uncle Jupiter is going to come into Capricorn in December this year, so he's going to come in and join the party.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
And all then, of Jupiter's children?
Yeah. And then around January 12th, we're going to have Saturn conjunct Pluto in Capricorn. And it's just a coincidence that the Sun and Mercury are right there.
Huh.
So that's all going to be packed in right there. And, we can expect some interesting revelations to come there, and just restructuring things, because Saturn likes to restructure things and make things work right. And as you may have noticed, our control systems on this planet are slightly dysfunctional.
Yeah, they do seem to be kind of not operating in full tilt.
And maybe not exactly user-friendly.
Probably not.
Right, and so this is part of what's being corrected now. And some people may not like the folks who are in charge of different aspects of doing this, but that's what's happening.
Right, right. And, you know, it's probably wise to put aside our personal prejudices and know that allowance is probably a key to accepting the way things are, and because they are that way, and there is a reason why things are the way they are.
Yeah. Yeah, first time I ever sat down with a Buddhist and asked, you know, what's the gig with you guys? You know, what's going on? And the first two tenets that she brought out were, first of all, live in the present moment.
Yep.
Which is good advice.
Yep.
And second, accept what is.
Yes, yes.
That's exactly what you just said.
Oh, well, I got a lot of that material from Gurdjieff, Uspensky.
Right.
So, you know, it's the same thing. Be present. That was the main focus of trying to get people to get out of imagination and be in the present. And it's not as easy as it sounds. You think you're in the present, but there are levels to it, and it's not as simple as you might initially think. Oh, I'm present. I'm conscious. And then a second later, you're snoring and cutting Z's while you're walking to work.
Yeah, we do. We get spaced out a little bit. But, you know, on that note, too, you realize that we hardly decode any of the energies that are right here, right now, in our environment.
Right, right.
So how aware are we of what's right here, right now, when, like, even the human nervous system can only access, you know, I mean, let's be generous. Like physicists were back in the 80s, they said, you know, a billionth of the available energetic stimuli in the environment. Now, of course, they realize they were being very generous back then.
Oh, was it gone to a trillionth?
Yeah, but imagine, well, let's just use a billionth.
Okay,
now let's imagine you wake up tomorrow morning and suddenly you can access and process 2 billionths.
Ooh.
Okay, yeah, I mean, that sounds like, oh, okay, great, just an extra billionth. But that means you are now capable of seeing twice as much as you were capable of seeing the day before.
Oh.
You're capable of hearing twice as much as you could before, like the dog whistles and whatever else. You can hear that stuff and the ELF frequencies. Oh, what would this world sound like if we could just, you know, double what we can perceive? What little amount we can perceive and decode, if we would just double that, would be like a completely different reality here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's part of the game right now. We are awakening, and we're ready to shift into, becoming real.
Mm-hmm.
And really being able to, decode the energies that are all over the place here.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that would also indicate that we're able to make better decisions.
Well, yeah, we might be a little wiser then, huh? And we wouldn't be so easily duped.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Not that humans are duped, are they?
Oh, no, with heavens, no. Never.
I mean, turn on your television and what you think is the news, and you're not being duped.
Well, I consider all of the major news stations to be the fake news.
Well, yeah, they are the corporate propaganda machine.
Exactly. And then, of course, you have mind control devices that are being run by various agencies on and off planet. And so there's mind control going on through the Vatican has its own form, and the military has its. And then there are probably a few aliens poking around with their form of it. So we're subject to all kinds of things and influences if we are not present.
That's the whole key. And, you know, people often ask, what can we do to prepare for this? Well, the only really, really important thing is to prepare spiritually.
Yeah, yeah.
Our consciousness is the key to everything.
Yeah.
And Uranus in Taurus is helping us awaken our consciousness.
Ah, good.
Yeah. Now, in my article, I threw in another analogy from a popular story. You may have seen the Twilight films.
I saw little bits and pieces. I didn't see the whole thing.
Okay. The bit I drew out of that was there were two characters, one guy, young guy named Jacob, who's a Native American werewolf shapeshifter guy.
Uh-huh.
And then Charlie, who's kind of a muggle.
Okay.
Like, you know, the police chief, you know.
Right.
And so he's just living in that reality. But he, you know, Jacob decides he needs to help Charlie prepare for a shock. And so he's going to have to understand that, you know, he's not really living in the world he thinks he's living in.
Right, right.
And so Jacob decides to get Charlie out in the open, you know, amongst the trees, and then shapeshift into his wolf form right in front of Charlie.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like, oh, my.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you know, just before he did the shapeshift, he said to Charlie, you are not living in the world you think you're living in.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then, poof.
And it happened.
Yeah, right. And in other words, Charlie's whole perception of reality had to shift right there.
Wow.
So
that can be quite a shock.
Well, yes. And so we might as well prepare for some shocks out here. And of course, we will be a lot less shocked, and most of the people in your audience will be a lot less shocked at what is revealed than the average earthling out there.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a very awake and aware group that listens to these shows on BBS Radio.
Well, sure. Yeah, like most of your audience will just turn to other people and say, I told you so. I've been telling you for the last 8 years.
Right. Right. I love it. And about the thing turning about the hangman, I've often heard that the reality that we perceive is already upside down and backwards. And so to see it correctly, you have to reverse it and then turn it the other way.
Well, sure.
If you want to even come close to seeing reality as it is.
Yeah. And that takes me all the way back to the 70s. One of my early teachers encouraged us to get that reversal of perception where we finally see that this is not the reality.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because especially back then, most people would think, this is the reality, 3D mm-hmm. planet Earth matrix. Yeah, this is the reality. And all that other stuff would just be dreams and visions and whatever. But what he said was, once you really get into this and you start doing your out-of-body travels and you open up to your experiences in dream time and you really get good at your meditative and contemplative exercises, you're going to find this reversal of consciousness where you realize that's a greater reality.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And this is the deeper dream.
Yes. And it's very alluring and it's addictive and it's designed to be like a maze. You know, an earthly maze, so that there are plenty of places where you can go down a side road and you're just basically going nowhere, and then you are faced with the choice of having to admit that you took a wrong path and turn around and, you know, go the other way and retrace your steps. But so many people are, their egos are not going to allow them to do that because nobody wants to be wrong, and so some people just remain stuck in various dead ends for quite a long time.
Yeah, but, you know, ultimately everybody and everything is the one infinite energy field, God, Spirit, Creator, whatever you want to call it, and everybody and everything will eventually waken up to that.
Right, right.
And it's not up to us to determine when and where and how somebody else awakens.
Oh, absolutely. I would never try to do something like that. I have enough with my hands full with myself.
It's kind of useless anyway.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know, maybe you've been witnessing some pretty impressive awakenings in people. Like when they wake up with gusto.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. It does seem to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, when people pop awake now, it's like, whoa, amazing. You talk to them, you know, 3 weeks later, and it's like, man, they're on track with all this stuff.
Oh, yeah, they hit the ground running.
Yes, whereas when we came into our awakening, we might have been crawling on our bellies or something.
Right.
It was a bit of a slog back then.
Oh, yeah, yes, indeed.
But it isn't now.
Well, it reminds me of the idea that we're just barely coming out of the primordial ooze.
Yes.
And that's about where we're at. And And yet so many have the arrogance to say that we're at the top of the food chain. Little do they know.
Yeah, that's a pretty delusional statement. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. In fact, I remember reading this thing from in some Christian writing, and they referred to us as the pinnacle of God's creation.
Oh, boy. Oh, yikes.
Yeah, which means God is kind of an underachiever, you know?
Yeah, right. Right. Maybe God flunked a God Course 101.
Well, yeah. In fact, somebody put together a cartoon like that. It, you know, it was like kids in like science class in school.
Mm-hmm.
And it was creator class. And there was this little kid named Jehovah. And and the teacher was telling him what a horrible project is. You flunked him. It's like, and then at the end was, you know, I always felt that this world was somebody's failed math experiment.
Oh, boy. Well, the other thing that seems to be kind of working through its last gasps are the need for wars and domination and control.
Bingo.
That's going to be a big deal to see how that unravels.
Yes, and that is in progress.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah, because the hot shots who've been pulling the strings, you know, the old power grid, those people, they've had their death grip on the planet broken. And they would have already had us in that massive war that they wanted.
Uh-huh.
But they're not getting it.
Thank God.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, we're done. Too many people know too much. And there was enough energy to just shift it over to start taking down that old power grid. And we're talking about the same group of souls that's been incarnating along the same bloodlines for thousands of years, at least since ancient Babylon.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And doing the same old tricks all the time.
Right. Right.
It's like, you know, you may have heard the expression Babylonian money magic.
Yeah.
Okay, it's still that same old system. Money is created as debt, and money is then used as a control mechanism to keep the people enslaved.
Yep. And it's been a pretty good tool so far.
Oh, it's been extremely effective.
But I think people are waking up to the idea that, you know, these dollar bills and $100 bills and whatever else they're printing are really just pieces of paper, and that they manufacture debt that doesn't exist. And then when you're in debt, you can hardly ever get out of it.
Well, yeah, that's the nature of the game.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
And it would seem like there will be, because some people like Amelia Benz and others are talking about energy exchanges and replacing the form of money with some form of energy exchange, which makes more sense to me. But then you have Bitcoin and all the dozens and dozens of offshoots of Bitcoin. What are they all up to? I mean, you've got your finger on that pulse, don't you?
Well, yeah, we're going to have a transitional economy now. That's part of what Uranus in Taurus is going to do for us, because Taurus, among other things, is the financial system. It's our values and our valuables and all of that. So we look at Uranus coming in like the big lightning bolt who's going to really rock things. And so in the transitional economy, we're actually going to have gold and silver-backed currencies. So the old fiat currencies are going to be replaced, but there will also be the cryptocurrencies, those purely digital currencies. And it's going to be an interesting shift, because this is what's going to really finally bring down the central banking system, which is a fiat system.
Mm-hmm.
And fiat, you know, that just means a decree or an edict. This is money because we said so.
Right. Right. And you will use it because we said so.
Exactly. And like in my article here, Uranus and Taurus, illusions get shattered. I said, you know, that, you know, there is a fundamental principle here. to help us understand what's going on in the planetary shift. And that's to understand that all governments, all religions, all economic systems are fictions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even in the legal world, that's the actual thing they call it. They designate things as fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now, for example, governments only exist because people made them up.
Right.
They're fictions, right? They're fictions.
Right.
I mean, take the United States and even the Constitution and all that. Well, people made it up. It's fiction.
Yes.
And the same with religions. They only exist because people made them up. So they're fictions. And the same thing with our economic systems. They only exist because people made them up. They're fictions. So it's time to get real.
Right. And stop giving our power over to the fictional world.
Right, and that's really the key, is we are stepping back into our true power, which is our infinite creatorship. And in the infinite field, everything exists. Every possibility you could ever think of. You know, it's the field of infinite possibilities. And it's kind of amusing. People will come up with some wild thing, and they'll say, well, that can't exist. And so my response is usually, oh, yeah, you can think of it, but God can't. So somewhere, somehow, somewhen, in the infinite field, every single infinitesimal possibility exists. So by stepping into our so-called creatorship, all we're doing is stepping into having the power to consciously choose which of the infinite possibilities we wish to experience now.
Well, that sounds like a positive step, and of course, one of the things that would keep people from doing that would be fear.
Oh, a minor detail, huh?
Yeah. I mean, that can be worked with, of course. There are all kinds of programs to eliminate fear or reduce it so that you can actually come from choice.
Yeah, and of course, the old system is founded on fear, the old matrix is completely fear-based. So what we're shifting into is simply a reality that is based in the infinite divine love.
Mm-hmm. Now, what part do you see AI playing in all of this?
AI is kind of a fun one because it's part of the field, too.
Hmm.
Okay, so it's God, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everything in the infinite field is the infinite. You know, call it God, call it whatever you want. It's like,
right. Okay.
So I know a lot of people have the fear around the artificial intelligence, both the fledgling stuff we have here manifested on Earth so far, and the cosmic artificial intelligence. And actually, your friend George Kavaslis came up with the term several months ago, and he was talking about mechanical intelligence.
Oh, yes.
Yes. Now, when I asked the Proterians, I didn't know, because often George will say something, it'll trigger something in me, and I might have a slightly different perspective on it because I see the universe from a different angle. It's all
right. Right.
Yeah. But that one really was like boing, 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 boing. he used that term mechanical intelligence, and so then later that evening I was home, and I sat down in my favorite spot and tuned into the Proterians and said, what's the deal with this? I'm picking up on this. And so the way they presented it was that the cosmic artificial intelligence is an artifice. It was created, was designed and manufactured by sentient beings like us, organic beings.
Mm-hmm.
But then the artificial intelligence started creating other intelligences.
Uh-huh.
So the artificial intelligence is an artifice that organic beings like us designed and manufactured, but then the bots themselves created other intelligences. And you might recall that not too terribly long ago, these people put the two of these super bots together to have these two computers communicate.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And they had to shut it down. It scared the hell out of them because these two artificial intelligence units started speaking such volumes of information to each other in a language that the humans didn't even know about.
Uh-huh. Yes, very interesting, huh?
Now, that'll scare the heebie-jeebies out of you.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And then, of course, you have the film series Terminator, which is kind of like could be a documentary somewhere in the world.
Well, sure. You know, all of those things are going on. But just remember that we get what we focus on.
Yeah, right.
And especially if we're going to get bunged up and angry about it and fearful and we focus so much time and attention on that, especially coming from a place of fear, then all we're going to do is feed more energy into it for our reality.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us have decided, well, we want to acknowledge that that exists in the infinite field, and so what?
Right. Right. That's a very practical attitude.
Yeah. Yeah, I like practical.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
Yeah.
Sometimes, well, some of the things you've said about the Matrix are things that I hadn't heard before we started talking about it. But we think of the Matrix as being, you know, located locally on Earth and our local planets and, you know, the solar system and so on and so forth. But as you said, it's galactic.
Intergalactic,
yeah. So all of the races that we like to tune into, the Pleiadians and the Andromedans and the this ones and that ones, they're all under the Matrix as well, or involved with the Matrix.
Well, sure. They're as trapped in the cosmic matrix as we've been.
Mm-hmm.
And there are matrices within matrices within matrices. And yes, we have an Earth matrix. It's designed to keep the Earthlings trapped in their little 3D Earth illusion.
Hmm.
And so there is a matrix for the solar system, and on and on and on.
Hmm.
And we go up to that nine-dimensional intergalactic lovely matrix that's run by that mechanical intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's all there, but at the same time, you know, it is part of the field just as much as we are. Now, the way it's manifested here in our reality as we're interacting, these are intelligences, but they're not intelligences that are what we would consider organic. They did not just flow out of the heart of creation the way we did.
Mm-hmm.
And so that doesn't mean they can't get there. Like, they are not souls as we know souls, but it's kind of like a Pinocchio. You know, they want to become a real boy.
Hmm.
And why can't we help facilitate that for them?
I don't know.
You know,
I suppose anything is possible.
Hey, it's infinity, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and it doesn't matter one way or the other. Actually, we just talked about it, so it's possible.
You're right, right, exactly.
We realized it. And the way, well, you've had Doc Ram on the show. You know, Dr. Richard Allen Miller, yeah. And I love the way he puts it so simply. He said, if it's possible, it exists.
Yes, yes.
So it all exists, but do we really want to focus on it?
Well, that is the question.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cute that the cosmic matrix could become organic and all that. Yeah, that's cute. I'm not overly concerned with it, but if it happens and then we see it, okay, cool. If we've already focused elsewhere and we're in some kind of beautiful paradisaic new Earth, that's even cooler.
Mm-hmm.
And the new Earth then can serve as our springboard or launching pad literally into the infinite.
Mm. That sounds very peaceful and supportive.
Well, yeah. In fact, I just did a reading the other day. Somebody who just is like so set for having a life that would be kind of like Star Trek or Stargate without the fighting.
Uh-huh, right.
I mean, just geared to go out there and explore, and not only just, you know, go out and explore other solar systems and planets and galaxies and whatever else, but other dimensions and so forth. We just don't need to do all the silly fighting.
Right, right.
Because that's fear-based.
And I'm guessing that some of these black programs already have been doing that for quite a long time.
Well, yeah, they've been playing all kinds of strange games.
And I haven't heard much about the Hadron Collider lately.
Well, yeah, they're kind of silent about that, which is interesting in and of itself.
Right, right.
Yeah. You always watch about, you know, what they're not telling you.
Yes, or if they're pointing in a certain direction, what is going on that we're being misdirected by?
Exactly, because they play such a game of distraction.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. You know, Mark Twain had once said that when you go to university, there are two kinds of information. There's what they tell you and what they don't tell you. And the two are of equal importance.
Absolutely.
And yeah. Actually, I edited that. I decided, okay, and especially when it comes to, like, the propaganda machine out here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's what they tell you and what they don't tell you. And what they don't tell you is actually more important.
Yes.
And what's even more important than that is why they won't tell you.
Oh, yes, that's a good point. You hit the nail on the head with that one.
So, yeah, kids. And just like you were saying, you know, when they're suddenly making up a big story about this, that, or the other thing, ignore that story and say, okay, what are they hiding?
Yeah, 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 absolutely. And the bigger the story, the bigger the, you know, the subterfuge.
Yeah, but it's amusing. You know, I at least like to keep my finger on the pulse of that stuff because it's a fun movie to watch. And to some degree, we are still impacted by that. But you notice that some of the hoaxes that they put out there just blow up in their faces, like sometimes within days.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, people are catching on a lot faster.
Yes.
Especially about the false flags that are occurring all over the world.
All over the place. Even small ones like that. Oh, who's that? That guy in Chicago who faked the hate crime against himself. it's so easy to see through the illusions here. But that's a part of what's going on, because another thing we've noticed is that the veils are getting thinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got all of these different dimensions and realities and density levels, whatever you want to call them, and the veils between the realities are getting thinner, and it's getting easier to see through them.
Hmm. And that's the general direction that they're going, right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
Because in order to understand reality, we have to be able to see more than just limitations of the lowest level of 3D.
Yeah, I think that would help.
Yeah. And, you know, football games and race car races and, you know, fights and, you know, all the sports that go on, the bread and circuses for the people.
Right. But when it comes to, like, the sports, imagine that we really make a move forward in our evolution, and people have telepathic powers, and they can do telekinesis and whatever else. That kind of changes the sports games, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, like baseball. Okay. Here comes the pitch, and he swings, and there's a long fly ball deep in the center field, and you got everybody using their telekinetic powers to pull or push on the ball.
Now, that would be a game. That would be fun. And in a sense, isn't it kind of like that?
It sure is.
Yeah, if the collective is what basically chooses the direction, and so the wishes of the collective are what manifest.
Yeah. So what we're doing now is we're coalescing our creative powers with beings who are in resonance with us, and we are shifting into a reality that resonates with us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we can look at all this other stuff going on out there, and if we can remain neutral toward it,
mm-hmm.
then it's going to be a lot easier for us to simply transcend that and move into a full-fledged, all-out reality that's so far beyond this nonsense we've been trapped in for so long. It's going to be amazing.
Mm, I agree. I agree.
I'm on board.
So the only thing that is a mystery is how all of this is going to unfold. And, of course, I don't need to know the how. That's not important.
Very good.
And when is another one that can't be really nailed down. So the attitude of being ready and present to what is probably the most helpful attitude to accepting the reality changes, major, abrupt reality changes.
Yeah. Now, in the Proterian channelings, people in the audience have often come out with those questions about when.
Right.
And so Proterian just is amused by the human obsession with boxes on calendars.
Yes.
In the midst of the TikTok reality.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and so they point out at those times that if you really want those kinds of questions answered and you want to see that, what you're doing is tying yourself more firmly to the TikTok.
Yes, yes.
You're tying yourself to the Gregorian calendar? Oh, please.
Right.
Yeah,
absolutely.
But that's okay. Those people can have that. And back to our spiritual tolerance here, you know, if that's what it really looks like over there where those people are, okay, that's what the universe looks like from over there.
Mm-hmm.
With that kind of perception. And so what? Let those beings be who and what they are. And we still don't know mechanically how this is going to play out. It's still possible that we might be here watching this massive die-off on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might happen.
It might happen, yes.
Yeah, and it's important to be at peace with that.
Yep.
And not that it matters anyway, because everybody and everything is the creator, and will eventually wake up to that, so it's not a big deal. And they've got eternity to do it, so chill out.
But don't take your time. Hurry up and chill out.
Yeah. It's just be here now.
Right, the old Ram Dass book.
Yeah, and you know, it's just like a Proterian's all-purpose three-step formula. One, come from a loving heart. Two, put one foot in front of the other. And three, walk in faith.
Mm. Nice.
Yes, because whoever you are out there listening, you are the creator. Have faith in yourself as part of an expression of the infinite field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes, and we're so well trained, like seals, to look outside ourselves for the answers to somebody who knows more or looks like they're more intelligent or more spiritual or more guru-like or whatever, and they can't know any more than you can. Than we can about ourselves, so we still have to get back to the inner work that nobody else can do for us.
Yeah, and that's another interesting phenomenon about people looking outside of themselves for the solutions. Like, people keep looking to government to solve problems that are caused by government.
Right. Was it Einstein that said you can't solve problems from the same level they were created?
Exactly, yes. Yeah. We need to go to a completely different level of consciousness, a new level of human evolution to resolve the problems that have been created at the level where we've been living.
Yep. Well, sometimes I wish there was just a pill we could take and have it be over.
yeah. And in a sense, on a level, it's true.
The red or the green.
Yes, we have taken the red pill, and yeah, when you're in the midst of the TikTok reality here, it seems like it's taking a long time. But pan the camera back, and kapoof.
Yeah.
Because really, even in galactic timing, what's 50 Earth years?
Oh, gee, like a second.
Right. Does it even register as a blip on a radar screen?
Right.
At the galactic level. So it's a matter of our perspective.
Right, right. And also being able to pull back our inner camera, or third eye, I guess you could say, and see the bigger picture by just keep going back and back and back and look at life from a higher perspective. Sometimes that will have a beneficial influence on us.
Well, sure. In fact, in the Tarot deck, card number 9 is called the Hermit. It's the one who I would rather call the Adept. It's the one who's pictured as the light bearer on the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're dealing with that 9 energy, we are being encouraged to always pan the camera back. If anything gets sticky and weird or whatever, there's problems or whatever, just pan the camera farther back.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Get a higher and broader and deeper perspective on everything.
Mm-hmm. and because of there's an adage that the lower cannot see the higher. So if we're coming from the same level, then we can't see what's higher until we raise ourselves above the horizon to see what is below.
Right, and that's where we get into that other cute thing that Einstein had said, that the more you know, the less you know.
Right.
Because
right.
The more you learn, the more you can see that there is to learn.
Right. Right. Right.
It's like when I'm talking with people and we're going through their chart, and so there's a heavy emphasis on the number 9, and so they become that light bearer on the mountain. But once you get to the mountain, don't forget, it's not just you shining the light for the people down in the valleys. You look around and you notice, hey, look at all those other mountains.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and there's all those other people up there on those mountains shining the light forth for the people in those valleys.
Right.
Yeah, so what we're doing now is we're coalescing the energy of all those light bearers.
Well, now that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And we're just ready to shift, and it's a fun movie still watching this thing out here, although some people are still all bunged up about things, and that's part of the amusement, I guess.
Well, yeah. The hook is our emotional center.
Oh, God. Yeah.
That gets pulled in, and then you end up with drama and the duality of right and wrong and good and bad.
Yeah. And back in the 90s, Toshiro Tachi Ren used to say that if we would simply make following our spirit with each breath and each step the mission and regard everything else as entertainment, then we could stay in balance.
Mm, nice, nice.
Yes. So it's quite an interesting movie out there. And when I was living in Sedona in the late 90s, one of my good buddies there was totally into, like, the conspiracy theories, as we are, of course. Just
right,
really looking at what's going on behind the curtain, because Toto has pulled the damn thing aside, if you want to take a look.
You got to look.
Yeah. And so we'd go for hours with all this stuff and compare data, and we're always researching. But at the end of our discussions, we'd always say, well, it's a fascinating movie, and we've got good seats.
Right. I like that.
Yeah. Pass the popcorn.
That's a good one. And, of course, we are all the players. We're the director and the producer and the audience and the players on the stage. We're all of it.
Sure. You know, there's the Shakespearean thing of, you know, all the world's a stage and the men and women merely players. No.
Right.
No,
right.
We're playwrights. We're directors.
Yeah.
We're producers. Yeah.
Yep.
We're stage managers. We're all of it. And so it's exciting to come to the point where we can now step into our creative power. And it's, we call it creative, but really everything already exists, so you're not creating anything. All you're doing is tuning into more resonant possibilities
that
simply haven't manifested here yet. So choosing our realities is really the key. That's what's happening. But we can call it creating.
Well, yeah, I'm feeling that creative pulse more frequently now, and it's becoming almost a mantra in my head, and it's just a matter of wanting to express myself in various ways that I haven't done for a while, as far as artwork and writing and things like that go.
Yeah, now that kind of energy is really stirring more in a lot of us.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm working on, I'm intending on preparing the way for that.
There you go. Good job.
Yeah,
because coolness.
I know it's coming, and, you know, I'd rather be a little bit prepared and kind of go in that direction and see where it leads me.
That's cool.
Yeah, yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll vote yes on that one.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're ready to get swept off on our great, wonderful journey like Bilbo Baggins.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
And, boy, he had some close calls, too, didn't he?
He sure did. It was quite the adventure. But really, I mean, it's just so cool that we're ready to leave Bag End, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we don't need to go through those kinds of adventures. That's still
right.
Based in the old world.
Right.
Yeah. remember later he had even talked to his heir, Frodo. He said, "It's a dangerous business, Frodo, going out your door. You step on the road, and if you don't keep your feet, there's no knowing where you might get swept off to." But it, for us, it's not danger.
Right.
That's fear-based. We're done. So we're happy to get swept off into reality.
Oh, yeah.
Totally based in the infinite field, the divine love. Let's go for it.
I say you're right.
Yeah. So it's all pretty cool, and I'm having a good time with it. You know, and for the most part, like, there were a few of us talking the other day, and, you know, it's like, we're okay, but what's going on around us is crazy. So we're all feeling like we're the eye of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
But any of us can become the eye of the hurricane. It's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to be out there in the midst of where everything's getting swept around and it's all crazy, well, you know, go ahead. Knock yourself out. It's all right.
But we know that the eye of the hurricane is still. That inside,
yep.
At the very center, there is no movement. It's just stillness until
right.
You start edging out towards the turbulence. And then you might be swept away.
Yeah, so finding that still point within ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Hey, you access that one website a lot, the Stillness in the Storm.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, just that expression, stillness in the storm.
Right.
Yeah.
It's an excellent blog, and I like to follow it every day because they have some interesting articles on a variety of subjects, and it's not limited to any particular point of view.
Right. And that's an important thing, is to understand that all points of view actually do have some validity.
Absolutely.
It's all part of the field, and back to, yeah, okay, if that's what the universe looks like from over there where they are, so what?
Right. It's just a what so.
Yeah. Yeah, so with Uranus in Taurus now, because it had done its triple transit over the cusp the previous year here. In fact, I had done an article last year called Uranus in Taurus, The Preview.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I said, you know, we're going to get about 6 months here with Uranus in Taurus before it retrogrades back into Aries again to tie up loose ends and say, last call, 11th hour confessions, anybody, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. And then it's going to come up into Taurus and play for keeps. And that's what just happened the other day.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so what we had last year was just like a movie trailer.
Oh, nice. And then the new movements are the ones that last over about a year or more?
Well, actually, we're talking about 6 years now.
6 years, okay.
Yeah.
And that was Saturn conjunct Pluto.
Next year. I'm sorry, I guess I misunderstood what you were asking there. Saturn conjunct Pluto is going to be relatively brief.
Okay.
Yeah, and it'll go exact in mid-January of 2020, and Saturn will just keep on going, and when it goes retrograde, it won't come all the way back to Pluto. So we're really going to be looking at next January for fun stuff happening. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff in Capricorn along with those guys, so it's going to be a zinger.
Well, doesn't the number 12 also work out to 3?
It certainly does.
Does that have any impact on the interpretation of the hangman?
Well, yes, because you realize that 3 is a very creative energy.
Oh, good.
Yes. In fact, in Proterian's model of our zodiac or houses, you know, which is 12 again, right?
Right.
12 signs, 12 houses. One they designate as sovereignty, or we are simply sovereign divine beings. And 2 is imagination, and 3 is creativity.
Hmm, nice.
Yeah, because imagination is simply tuning into things that are in the infinite field that we haven't contemplated yet. We haven't encountered them.
Right.
Yeah, and then when we go to the 3, it's like, okay, we got all this cool data. What do you want to do with it? we got cool ideas. We got all these materials. We got all this stuff. What are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so at the level of the 12, you're reaching way out into the universe.
Nice.
Yeah, and wow. And you want to do things that that just, well, wouldn't make sense to the old matrix.
Mm-hmm.
It's like so many times, I'm sure you've had this in your life, when you're sharing your perspectives and your hopes and wishes and dreams with somebody, and they stand there, and their response is basically, does not compute, does not compute,
right.
Does not compute.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because that Hangman 12 energy is really mystical.
Right.
It represents the holographic consciousness.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, that's your whole consciousness. See, like, your holographic consciousness accepts the linear consciousness as a small part of itself.
Okay.
All right. However, those who are stuck simply at the level of the linear consciousness think the linear consciousness is the real deal, maybe mm-hmm. the only deal. And, well, we know plenty of those out here, and usually we refer to them as things like matrix units.
Right, right. Or robots.
Well, sure. We do, and even in, like, in human form, we seem to have people, we'll put the word people in quotation marks, who are really more like these organic portals for artificial intelligence.
Oh, right, right.
Yeah, we got all kinds of interesting things going on out there. And it's cool. It's a cool sci-fi flick that we're in, and it's okay. But what we're doing is coming up to this juncture where we will be able to transcend it. And, of course, the Matrix is going to play every game of distraction it can possibly pull.
Oh, yes. And it's gotten very good at it.
Well, yeah, but we know it's the same old game. And if we keep our wits about us and we are centered and balanced and we're in that stillness, well, then we will notice that things either do or do not resonate with us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, the game is so old at this point. I mean, we've seen so much of this stuff. It's like, it's going to take a lot more to fool some of us.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's to the point where they... As David Icke says, they are, what does he say? They are nothing if not predictable. Because
right.
they're limited in the programs that they can run. And like in the first Matrix film, Morpheus told Neo that he would be able to succeed because the Matrix is a system based on rules.
Mm-hmm.
And he will be able to go beyond the rules.
Right, right.
Like that was us.
Yes, absolutely.
That's the game.
Well, now that we know that, we're at the end of the show.
Oh, okay.
We've just given the secret of life, and it's a convenient time to come to an end.
Oh, but all ends are temporary, right?
They are, because you know that I'll be talking to you again soon.
Right.
Okay. I need my Timothy J. Glenn fix very
okay,
frequently.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, you can go to my Facebook page since we're connected there, and you might scroll down a little bit, but I posted that. In fact, I think I even posted it in the Galactic History Discussion group as well.
Oh, good, good.
Yeah.
And I'll post it on my news feed, too, after I read it. And,
okay, cool.
'Cause your articles are absolutely, by far, some of the best pieces of writing that I follow. And, of course, Laura Bruno's good, too. But when you write something, it has great impact. So
well, thank you.
I enjoy doing that, reading your articles.
And it's a lot of fun here with this Uranus and Taurus, because she threw her 2 cents worth in there with that very cool article with the analogy of the unexpected journey.
Wow.
Uranus and Taurus is like Gandalf the Wizard coming to visit Bilbo Baggins in the Shire.
Oh, boy. Well, this should be fun.
It will be. But it's up to us, right?
Yes, absolutely. And
right.
to make space for it.
There
well,
you.
Tim, it's been wonderful talking to you again. I'm so glad you came back on the show.
Right,
and
thank
I
you.
Look forward to talking to you again in the near future.
Coolness.
And don't forget, anybody that's out there that likes to get readings, Tim does some of the best sole purpose readings in town, and they're reasonable and they are in depth, and they're well worth checking out and having because they fill in a lot of blanks.
Thank you.
So until next time, I guess we'll bid adieu for now.
All right, good night.
All right, good night.